I would probably implement AI as much as possible because I think that will be very prominent in our very near future. Been like an AI agency, if I were to redo it. People can appear in the top three search results depending on the competition, their location, other, the niche. And the ROI on that can be like 32,000%. SEO is not a good answer for you. For you, you need to spend on ads because ads give you immediate ROI. Marketing is a catalyst for growth.
Welcome to the Entrepreneur's Logbook podcast. I'm your host, Zach Bernard. You can find me on It's Social at It's Zach B. In each episode, I bring on experts from various industries for you to learn about their strategies and insights driving extreme business growth. Today, we're joined by Aya Kikimova, founder and CEO of Leap Engine, a digital marketing agency that brings Fortune 500 level strategies to startups and small businesses at a fraction of the costs. And funnily enough, she has a pretty interesting story. She immigrated to the US from Kazakhstan at 16 as a first generation immigrant, not even knowing how to type on a computer. But she pushed forward, she earned her MBA in marketing and finance and built a pretty distinguished career. Before founding her company in 2021, she spent 6 years at Microsoft managing over $50 million annually in ad spend for Fortune 500 companies like P&G, Macy's, and AT&T. And with that performance, she even earned the Microsoft prestigious Platinum Club Award given to the 0.01% of the company. Aya, it's great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Zach, for hosting me. It's fun to be a guest here.
Well, thank you so much for joining. And how I always like to start these podcasts is I'd love to hear if you were to start your company from scratch, rebuild it, knowing everything that you know today, even the fact that you've had a corporate career, what's the the one thing that you would do differently or implement from day one that you feel a lot of entrepreneurs get incorrectly?
I would probably implement AI as much as possible because I think that will be very prominent in our very near future today, but even more so in the next 5 years plus. So I think I would have been like an AI agency if I were to redo it.
Interesting. And just touching on the AI side of things, are you guys using really heavily AI when it comes to being more efficient or when you work with clients, I imagine, but I could be wrong here too.
So yeah, once you start a business and you have a certain way and then you have your sort of time allocation, because we have already allocated a lot of our time to a lot of manual tasks, AI is sort of secondary for us, but we do use it increasingly more. So for example, we have an AI tool that does all of our local SEO for a Google Business Profile, and it works really well, and the results can be as quick as 2 weeks. People can appear in the top three search results depending on the competition, their location, other, the niche. And the ROI on that can be like 32,000%. So 32x to a dollar. It is just one of the most efficient ways for us to get clients and customers for our clients. But other than that, AI is used for us as a sort of junior marketer. We cannot let it run the gamut just because it's still learning, but we have AI infused pretty much in every aspect of our services, of course, with a very heavy human guidance and strategy.
Yeah. And I mean, you need that human side of things to be able to navigate that. And I thought that was interesting though. You mentioned with SEO, 2 to 3 weeks, it can get top three. That's crazy. Cause in my world, I mean, at least in mine, when you look at SEO, I mean, there's a lot of misconception hey, this takes years and months and months to be able to build that SEO presence. But it seems with AI and just also having the right expertise and knowledge, you're able to shorten that gap to get a quicker ROI. And I feel that's probably very important when you work these small, medium sized businesses, because they have a limited budget. They need to get a bang for their buck as soon as possible when they're investing in marketing. Yeah. And a lot of them, if they don't see the return fast enough, it's okay, we'll cut that. It didn't work, when they might have not given enough time to see the return. And what I'd love to hear is, when a client comes to you, they want to work with you, what is the the process look like? And then how do you take these strategies that you've learned working in Microsoft and then make them work for companies who have a smaller budget or really more like cost conscious in a way?
Yeah, so the first question first, SEO that we're talking about is more so for Google Business Profile, which is basically a listing in Google Maps. And that's very different to the rest of the SEO, like the general SEO that touches your website, where it optimizes and shows the main Google search results. That still takes about 3-4 months plus. And that's only because Google's algorithm, there's just no magic trick to trick Google. Like, they just will reward you within time and consistency. But the Google Maps is a whole different sort of part of Google that is underrated, and it's a huge sort of search engine in its own world. So that's where what we're talking about, where you can get visibility within a week or two, even if you have sort of the right combination of things. Like, we have to look at each business and each location individually. For the second question, in terms of the path and the process of getting client onboarded, we sort of screen clients, but also not so much for screen, but give them the strategic map before we get them onboarded. Because marketing in general and digital marketing sometimes is not a good fit for everyone. So, for example, we have a process called GPS. And GPS stands for growth, profit, and sales. And in 15 minutes, we can go through that process. And it's basically an Excel spreadsheet where we get certain numbers from a business. And in 15 minutes, we can know whether marketing is going to make sense for them, or where they need to fix certain things before they can even implement marketing, or if it's a fit. Then we can say, okay, we'll now do a deep dive audit into your entire business model and looking into your competition and doing a deep research, so to speak, that AI unfortunately cannot do. So it's very human, and it requires a lot of sort of experience that is not readily available online, which is the primary source of education for AI systems. So we do this kind of research to just say, okay, now marketing will work for you, but this is how we would do it. So it's like akin to, let's say, you want to go treasure hunting, and if you don't have a map, you don't know where to look for treasure. And I think a lot of the times these small businesses or any sort of or startups that don't have huge resources or huge marketing departments, they don't have this map and they just dig randomly. And we just help them figure out, like, you should dig in this place. If you dig 2 times, you will get gold. And we just know, because, you know, numbers don't lie. We are very much analytics driven.
I love that. And I love the analogy that you made with the treasure hunt, because that's so true. And like, I speak to some people sometimes, let's say, like, yeah, we have like a fun budget where we're just going to be testing like a few things. But when you're dealing with like small businesses, it's more like I need to make this work. Like, I can't just spend all my time and effort and money around like all these different efforts. And that's interesting. So like, when you start work with a client, what you do is you already have somewhat of a process with like the Excel or like Google Sheet that you mentioned to see if this will even work for them, which I think is interesting, because a lot of companies will try to sell you like the dream. So like, yeah, we can definitely like help you, but they can't quantify or like showcase like how you're going to be helping them. But in the first place, can even be helping them at first. And I think that's really important for like those small, medium-sized businesses, because they need to understand that.
They do. And it's not a fit for everyone, because marketing is ever-evolving landscape. So marketing 10 years ago, which, you know, back then you could just take somebody's money and it would work, it just would. But these days, it's just you have to have so many factors and things in, like, all your ducks in a row before you can even do any ads, do like SEO, or do any sort of cold email outreach if it's a B2B, or LinkedIn outreach, or in any sort of marketing, because it will just land flat. It will be a waste of budget and waste of money. So for us, it's very important to open the hood, look underneath and see if your engines are working behind the scenes and if the product or service that you are offering is actually has a product market fit and there is a demand there and there's also healthy profit margins, healthy lifetime value. And if your operational systems are in line, like let's say you you are a good candidate for marketing, but then if we drive more marketing to you, your systems will break. That's not a good model. So we basically have to verify that your business model is a good fit for us to even help you grow. And then, you know, with that, that will essentially create a profitable system for people to grow. Of course, we don't guarantee anything because guarantees are like, I hate when people say, we'll do this guaranteed. And then when you sign contracts with them, you have to read the fine print and realize there is no such thing as guarantee. But basically, it's kind of like, imagine you're buying a ticket to Barcelona and the pilot will get you there guaranteed. But then there's a crash or there's something like you can nothing in life is guaranteed. So we have the best intention of taking you to Barcelona and you have a flight and we are going there. But if something happens that's beyond our control, obviously that's.
So I mean, that's like why it's like very important to look under the hood, as you mentioned, to figure out exactly if they have the system, the operation in place where you can actually perform, because that's a good example. Like I have this one friend that does like ads for like local businesses. And what he found is if you try to just start working with a company that didn't have like an appointment set or someone that could call the leads directly, it was a complete waste of money because they would get all these leads, but they would not even call the leads. They wouldn't get any like leads being called. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about. It obviously depends on the business that you're working with, but they need to have this system. And I think that's a very important component with your approach, like figure out exactly like, hey, you need to have that before we can even like work with you. So,
Us, I think also what differentiates Leap Engine is that not only they get the services, which is, you know, anybody, right? You can do SEO, you can do ads, you can do CRO, which is conversion rate optimization, CRM system setup. So basically looking at our services individually, but we also provide, and I personally step in to provide the strategy. So acting as a sort of fractional CMO to give the roadmap, short-term, long-term planning, to understand how this business not only can improve from the lead gen or kind of like the prospect gen situation, but also profit gen, right? Like how do we increase profits and how do we help this business to open a second location, for example, in the next 6 months or next year? How can we plan for all of those and figure out how we can improve operationally? So maybe we can hire a person, maybe we've consulted our clients on helping them hire like a CRM expert, for example, or an email marketing expert. So all of these things, like we don't just provide raw services. We like step in as part of your team and to help kind of fill in the gap within the marketing space. And then the other thing that they would get with us is ethical, right? Like I'm a mom and for me, ethics is very key because I am raising a little human and I need to bring this little human to be as a good little human, right? To contribute to our society. So for me, ethics and honesty and just being like transparent is very important, which is why we list all of our prices transparently on the website. We do not discriminate between, are you a small company? Are you a large company? All of our prices are flat. A lot of the models for ads, for example, they do like a base fee plus a percent on top of
the ad spend.
We don't do that. We're just like, this is what it costs for us to run Google Ads and that's it. So there's no sort of tricking of any of the clients. So for us, that ethical nature of our relationship is very key, which is also a screening factor for us with working with the right clients too.
No, that's fair. And I mean, you have to have that into place. Make sure you're working with good fits, but also good clients at the same time. And one thing I'd be like a bit curious to hear, which is a bit more focused on like the marketing, like myth side of things, because there's a lot of misconceptions, stereotypes in like marketing where you should be doing that, you shouldn't be doing that. I mean, a good example we were talking about, like, before you could literally run ads, get a return like directly, like really easy. But now you need to have all those ducks in a row to make sure that you get that return. Like, I remember the day seeing people run like Facebook ads, put $100, get $1,000 back out. Doesn't work like that anymore if you just try to run a random creative. Like, you need the approach, you need the system. And where I'm going with this is, when it comes to like these marketing myths, is there like certain that you see these small businesses fall for that are actually costing them a lot of money? And is there anywhere where perhaps they should be focusing more of their efforts on?
So I think the biggest marketing myth for me that I've seen across in my career and also working at Leap Engine and my company was, so that businesses come to me and they're like, oh, do you do SEO? We want SEO. And I'm like, why do you want SEO? And they're like, I don't know, I've heard a lot about it. And, you know, it seems like it's the right thing to do. I mean, and I'm like, okay, let's first take a look at your numbers. Let's show me the numbers. I'll show you the money. And we looked at the numbers and then they're like, but I only have like $2,000 a month budget. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. And do you want, what is your priority right now? Cash flow. I need money back. I need cash right now. I'm like, okay. SEO is not going to pay off until 4 to 6 months from now. You're going to get zero cash flow from that. It's a good investment, but you have to have pretty good budget for it to be able to sustain yourself for the next 6 months with no money back, because the ROI is long term. Yeah. SEO is not a good answer for you. For you, you need to spend on ads, because ads give you immediate ROI. But first, let's see if the back end of the ads is going to work, which is where they land, the landing page, your offer, your profit. Turns out basically none of this would work for this person and for this business. Their profit margins were 20%. Their conversion rate from lead to sales was 10%. And their customer retention was like less than 50%. I'm like, okay, first of all, you need to work on your back end. Your customer retention needs to improve, increase your lifetime. It's a one and done. It's like an e-commerce without repeat. So their business model would be like, hey, we sell this once and never see you again. And I'm like, well, you just spent so much money to acquire this one customer and you have no repeat offer for them. That's kind of a pain. So basically, I had to tell them and turn them back and say, SEO or no SEO, you've heard a lot. The people are very good salespeople, but it's not going to work for you, at least not right now. It's not a good time. So yeah, that's the biggest myth. People come to us because they heard the buzz, or they sort of, social media, I got to post every day. And I'm like, okay, posting without strategy is not going to do anything. Is your post, do you know if your post is bottom of the funnel, middle of the funnel, or top of the funnel? Do you even know the difference? Do you know that the bottom of the funnel should probably be the longer one and more with a call to action to a particular offer? Middle of the funnel probably should be a little bit shorter, educational, reaching more people, but giving them some kind of value. And then top of the funnel, maybe 7 seconds or less. Like, did you know that? So people don't have any idea. They just think that they just need to post. But again, having no strategy, having no map is just randomly digging. Like, I got to dig and I'll just dig randomly. Maybe I'll find treasure. Like, no, you first need a map. Let's go look at where the treasure might be and where is the easiest for you to get. Like, maybe the treasure is in England and you are in Washington. And that's a big flight. What about maybe there's a smaller treasure nearby where you can walk to, and it's not going to be this multi-million dollar treasure, but it's $5,000. That's still a better ROI because it's closer to you.
Yeah. So knowing where to focus and why you should be focusing your efforts in certain places is like the overarching theme that I'm seeing, because you have some people that the myth again. Like, they're going to have these misconceptions, like, hey, this is working for this person. This should be what I'm doing. But when you look at your numbers, you look at your particular use case in business, it's like, okay, I mean, I don't really have the cash flow to entertain this for 6 months and not make any money out of it. I should probably be looking at paid ads, get that direct return investment, and then reinvest into the business. So every marketing, ways, like things, strategies, like they all work, but they might work better for certain people, might not work really great for you. So you have to find that sweet spot, like really what works for you. And I really like the fact that you have like that, like some a roadmap that you show them, like, hey, this is where you're at. You don't really have the necessary tools to get to that next phase on the roadmap. So you probably should be focusing on this before trying to jump the gun and get to like phase number 10 when you're only at phase number 2. And I think that's an important one. So a lot of people try to do like everything at once when clearly you should just laser focus on like one thing. And that's like one thing that someone brings me to another question, be kind of curious, because I know we spoke to AI like when we started the conversation, because we're seeing AI all over the place. I mean, there's so many AI tools nowadays, just like coming out. I mean, a lot of them are just like the exact same thing. They're just a ChatGPT wrapper. There's not too much anything special with the actual tool where you could build it yourself. But what I'd be curious is, when you look at small businesses and like they want to implement AI, is there anything specific that you would recommend to these business owners, entrepreneurs, that they should be doing to still not be like ahead of the curve, but not lose that like authentic connection with their customers? Because a lot of people, they're going to use a chatbot, they're going to put on their website, they're going to use an AI caller to make sure that an AI responds to the call. But directly there, in my experience, if I call a place nowadays and it's an AI that responds, I'll ask to speak to someone, or I'm just going to call the next business. And I have a feeling probably some of your clients may have run into that same scenario or not.
Yeah, AI needs to be implemented and used very carefully, because as somebody who, you know, I'm a proponent of AI and I like AI, but I think we have to find the right tools. And a lot of it, because AI is created by humans, is who do you trust to create the right tools, right? So we've tried. So for example, I mentioned we have AI for Google Business Profile. That's for local SEO, and that works really well. However, for SEO, we have tried multiple AI tools that are out there, and they only solve a very limited problem, which is technical SEO. And not even, they don't do a lot of the more complex coding fixes. And they kind of solve for content. But again, like, you can, if you are human, if you can tell, and a content is like written so well and repetitive and has all these emojis, and it's just, you already know that's AI written content. If you can tell, Google can tell, and we don't know how Google will respond. It already kind of deprioritizes that type of content. So I'd be careful with that. So basically, you kind of want to have AI tools that are verified, trusted, and recommended by somebody you trust and recommend, right? So for us, we're very, very careful with that. We are working on our own AI ads tool, because the ones that I've seen out there, again, are sort of like
terrible.
I mean, it's like a waste. It's like hiring on Fiverr and wasting your time, wasting your budget, and essentially losing out on competition. A year later, you're like, I wish I've hired a person to do this, not AI. So yeah, like it's they lack strategic insight. So for small businesses, I would recommend working with a human who can help you build the AI that you need, but not sort of just doing the cookie cutter AI tools out there, because those are like a turnoff and everybody is into AI. But that's not to say that it's kind of like we're in the early days of internet. Internet was kind of crappy in the beginning, but then now it sort of permeates everything. So you have to find the right tools out there. ChatGPT for me is my favorite. I don't have any other recommendations for people who want to do social media. I still use Canva, and it has AI components out there. I heard about Gamma app today, which I'm testing for presentations. But yeah, there's sort of no substitute yet for strategy, for human strategy. So I would still work with somebody you trust who can then help you either build a tool or scope out a tool for you if you don't understand it. But basically, my recommendation is very similar to Warren Buffett's. If you don't understand it, don't do it.
That's a very, very good point of advice, because like, yeah, it's so true. There still has to be that like human component when it comes to obviously like using AI, because the way I look at it, it's an amplifier for like anything that you're doing. It's making you more efficient, more faster, but you still need that human touch, be more like efficient and active. And I thought that was interesting. You mentioned that you're building out like an AI tool for like ads and stuff like that.
Like, yeah.
Like, how does that look? Is it more so just look at being able to like look at KPIs, give recommendations and everything like that?
So no. So basically, it would take, so you could give it a bit, your website descriptions of what your business does and what you're looking to get. And then you would do a deep research on competition. And from there, it would build out sort of campaign drafts. We're starting with Google just because Google is, you know, the most common type of ad, and all of these different platforms are highly complex and very different and ever evolving and changing. But Google is important because it's bottom of the funnel, and for businesses that have high search volumes, like local businesses, it's key to show up front and center and to be as relevant as possible. So what the tool does, it builds out the drafts, but then, you know, we are in the process of like sort of training it, right? Because it needs to learn what's the right structure. For Google Ads, structure is key and important, and targeting is part of targeting. So then the targeting is another thing. But the creatives, that's the easy piece. That's where AI can do a super, super easy job. It's more so the setup. And then the second phase would be the optimization, where it would automatically optimize based on certain signals from Google and that it sees and within the industry. So there are other competitive tools that are outside of Google that can give you an insight on what's happening in your niche or amongst competition.
Yeah, and we're going to see so many like new tools like start to pop up like here and then with like obviously AI that starts like evolve more. But something I'd be like a little bit curious about, because we talked about obviously ROI, measuring like numbers and like tracking things on. You've obviously worked with like over like 100 businesses across like different industries at like your time at Microsoft and obviously running out your company now. But what I'd be kind of curious is there like certain mistakes that you see these like business owners, entrepreneurs, small, medium sized businesses when it comes to measuring like their marketing ROI? And like, what's the kind of framework that you take to ensure like all these marketing dollars do drive results, as opposed to just putting them all over the place and hope that the dart hit the middle of the board?
Yeah, analytics is a huge part of marketing dollars and just marketing decision making across channels and across devices. And a lot of the times in the past and even to this day, businesses use last touch attribution, which means that basically, even if the user bounced around, found you on Instagram, then came around to like TV ad and then heard you on the radio, but then searched on Google and landed and converted through Google, Google gets the full credit and the rest of them don't. So we have to be careful of that kind of attribution, because all of the previous touch points are not measured properly. And also through more recent research, we know that it takes about 10 to 12 touch points before a user converts. So the previous 10 or 11 need to be accounted for and valued at a particular amount. And that is highly customized per business. So this is where, you know, the Fortune 500 type of analytics and research and marketing sort of decision making that is usually not available on a small business level, they just don't know. They're just like, oh, all of my leads came from Google. I love it. Let's double down on Google. And I'm like, okay, but if you cut Instagram or if you cut Meta, your Google will dry out because that's where actually Google is feeding from. If we look at Google Analytics and take a look at everything, you know, just the full path of a user journey. So the other mistake that I've noticed a lot of small businesses do is they look at it very short term. They look at, so for example, I have a client and they their lifetime value is about 25,000 because they have high client retention rate. They're doing a great job and the clients come to them year after year after year. However, they come to them once every 6 months. And they look at the last 3 months and they say, oh, we spent $200 to acquire this customer. And they spent with us like $1,000. That's not enough. That is not a good enough ROI. And I'm like, but that customer that you acquired for $200 is going to overall in the lifetime spend $25,000 with you. That's a very good ROI. So just educating them because they're looking at it short term. And sometimes, you know, I'm just making up numbers, but sometimes it could be that you spend $200, but they spend only $100 in the first month. But again, looking at the lifetime value, you have to account for the benefit and the ROI. So ROI measurement alone, I think just looking at the wrong numbers, looking at the wrong attribution can cause huge mistakes. And I've seen it done before and before over and over again where people just sort of don't know how to read this metrics. And that's where I think my Fortune 500 experience comes in.
Yeah. And I love the example that you mentioned with that client, like just now, like having that short term thinking when like a customer like, hey, doesn't have like an insane like LTV for they haven't purchased like so much so far. But your average customer literally stays with you maybe for 3 years, like that LTV is going to like higher up and higher up. But if you just look at the last 3 months, and obviously the first thing you're going to say is like, okay, this is not a good ROAS, like not a good ROI that we're doing here. So basically the overarching theme for these small businesses is like zoom out, look at the bigger picture, not taking like any quick assumptions, but also look at like where your leads are coming from. Because as you mentioned, like the attribution, a lot of people are going to say, oh, Google. It's like, okay, turn off the Facebook ads for a little bit and see if the Google ads are still working, and then just comes crashing down. So that's a very good one. And people should always like test things and see exactly where those leads come from to not make assumptions again, like misconception.
I think the other big mistake, and I'm sorry, I'm just going to say one more. Mistake that small businesses and just businesses in general, they look at marketing as an expense. And I think that's a very huge mistake because when you look at it as an expense, you look at it or where you can cut it. But you know, marketing is a catalyst for growth. So I've seen businesses that had both perception, right? And the businesses that have the perception that it's an investment for your revenue and growth are the ones that have started. So obviously we work with really small businesses and their budgets can be as low as $1,000 a month, right? So this particular client has started with $1,000 a month. Their ROI on that $1,000 was like $15,000. And obviously for me, I'm like, hey, invest more, please increase the budget. It doesn't mean you pay us more because our fees are flat. So they did increase. And now their monthly budgets are like between 20 and 40K a month. And that makes sense to them because most of their revenue, like majority of it comes from online advertising and online marketing that we do. But there's another client again has this really amazing 10x ROI, ROAS, but does not want to spend. They're like, our budget is 3,000. We just can't, we cannot, we have the space. We have to pay a lot of money for this space. And we have, you know, employees that we have to pay for. I'm like, but if you get more clients, you'll be able to pay for them very easily because your ROI is insane. So there's, it's, I think it's the mindset of having to look at marketing as an investment, because that's where you'll see really amazing results.
Yeah, like breaking that limiting belief so much that they so much have. And I mean, it comes from you being able to advise and being an expert, having been in the space for quite a while. It's like, okay, maybe you should listen to the expert that you're paying every single month to advise you on like marketing here. So
exactly. I love that. Right?
Well, Aya, thank you so much for coming on the show. This is amazing. And for like anyone that would want to like get in touch with you, because I know we obviously have like your website, leapengine.com. Is there anywhere else people should be looking at if they want to reach out or find you online? Or
yeah, they can Google me, but I also am offering a limited number of GPS sessions. So okay. Basically, those are the ones that I was talking about. It's a free 15-minute call. There is no obligation. In fact, it is more likely that I will turn you down and tell you to go fix something before I will try to anything else, which I usually don't. And it will be just very helpful for you to find out what your limitations are and where you need to fix your business or your numbers. And it's a free call for 15 minutes with me. So I would invite everybody to try that call. It's going to be only for the next month or two.
Perfect. Well, we'll put that in show notes so everyone can go and book a call if needed here. So perfect. Well, thank you so much to our listeners. If you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. You can also find more insights at wefuture.com, where we're dedicated to helping entrepreneurs build their thought leadership and business by booking them on podcasts and launching their own podcasts. Until then, keep pushing, and we shall see you in the next one.